This is Brock and Salk.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio. Back in mornings from 6 to 10.
On Seattle Sports Station.
We go around the NFL here with a special NFL edition of Buy and Sell. That's coming up in 30 minutes on Brock and Salk Seattle Sports here on 710seattlesports.com. Another week, another former Brock Heward partner who we get a chance to chat with about a Seahawks game that they're doing. Chris Myers has been on the show. Who else have we had so far this year? What other former partners of yours have joined us?
No, let's test your memory. Let's see how we're doing.
Well, I know it's not Joe Tessitore. That hasn't happened. I almost called Bob Wischusen last week before the Jets game.
Yeah.
Thought he would be fun to talk to.
Mm-hmm.
Who am I missing?
I think that's about it.
Is that it?
Oh, Kevin Kugler.
Oh, yeah, Kevin Kugler, who I know you've worked with, who's called like half of the Seahawks games this year.
What am I?
I know. That's and cool. Now, how about this? The voice of the World Series himself. He did a great job this year in his first World Series. Joe Davis from Fox Sports, who will call the Seahawks game this weekend. Hi, Joe. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. And I don't feel quite as special after that introduction here. And I'm like the 14th former partner. Jeez, I thought this was like a special reunion for us, Brock.
Says a lot more about me than it does you, Joe. A lot more. Did you guys have, I'm trying to remember, did you and Moose call a Seahawks game earlier this year?
You know what? He had, Moose did, our crew did. They had the game in Arizona, but I was gone for baseball at that point.
Okay. So all new boards for you. First time on your charts.
Hey, and I'm sorry. Hold on. Before we get to the Seahawks game
this
weekend.
This is our reunion. Okay,
I know, but I got to ask about doing the World Series. I mean, it must have been, you're calling the World Series for Fox. The first year, Joe Buck moves on and you take over that job. How was calling the World Series on television for Fox?
It was awesome, man, and it's and Brock knows this, but it's kind of the one thing. I've always known I wanted to do this job, wanted to be a play-by-play announcer, and had you asked me as a kid, okay, now narrow it down. What if you have to pick, I would have told you Game 7 of the World Series would be the one. And, you know, calling the World Series for Fox would be the thing that, you know, if I could pick one thing, that would be it. So to have that as a specific goal, you know, to be a kid watching Joe call the World Series on Fox and say, I want to do that, and then getting to do it, it was as special as I had hoped. And it was also a really cool thing that, you know, it was special and amazing, but it never felt overwhelming to me. And I think part of that is that I had, since I was 10 years old, been thinking to myself, man, I would love to do that one day. And so the moment didn't feel too big either. So it was a really cool combination of feelings.
And I would say, as cool as the World Series was, your call of Bryce Harper's home run, NLCS, was about as good
as it could.
That was about as good as you can ever hear somebody do the job. Joe Davis here with us. He'll be on the call with Moose Saturday down in a very wet, soggy, at least forecasted to be, Santa Clara, as you start to put your charts together for the Seahawks, who you'll see for the first time, the crew a second time. What stands out to you?
Well, they're interesting, right? And you guys at this point, I hope I can catch up by Saturday, but you guys know them better than I do. What I find interesting is you look at the overall numbers for the team, and it's like, man, these guys stink on defense. But then you look the last 2 weeks, and it's like they're probably not here without the defense. So, you know, that dynamic of the thing, and then offensively, it's kind of the other way where it's like, oh, they might be pretty dynamic. You look at some of the names here, but then lately I know it's been all about Kenneth Walker, and he's kind of transformed, it seems like, the identity of the offense, where they are now what Pete Carroll wants and what a lot of coaches want, and that is to be able to play complementary football and lean on a ground game.
How about the Niners? How good are they?
They're really good. We had them week one in Chicago, and at that point it was, okay, we know they have a Super Bowl caliber defense, but the big question was Trey Lance. Well, then Trey Lance gets hurt, and then Jimmy Garoppolo shows up, and yeah, he plays pretty well. And the thread through this whole thing is the defense is still really good. We know Garoppolo gets hurt. Brock Purdy shows up, and okay, are they in big trouble now? Well, they could still lean on the defense. How about this, though, guys? 49ers, since Brock Purdy became the starting quarterback, week 14, just a five-game span, they're the number one scoring team in the NFL. 34 points per game since he took over. So it's been more than just, okay, kid, get in there and don't screw this up with what the defense is doing. They've been dynamic.
Joe, do you go back this season, first year doing NFL full-time, you go back and look at your college boards when you have some of these guys that are rookies or young people and kind of look back at your notes?
Yeah, it's funny. I do. I actually, we were doing the game week 13 when Garoppolo got hurt and Purdy came in. And Brock, at halftime of that game, I pulled out my computer and pulled up my Iowa State board from last year just to look through my Brock Purdy notes. And there are several examples of that. I'd say there's probably a guy or two a week. I'm doing it with Kenneth Walker this week, going back looking at our notes from our Michigan State game last year that we did, Brock. So, yeah, there are definitely chances to do that.
When you and I were sitting there, and we called a number of Brock's games over the years, both, you know, at Oklahoma a few different times, big games, big moments, would you have ever imagined calling his games and watching him in college, as we got to do, seeing him behind the scenes, watching him practice and everything else, would you have ever imagined, as Mr. Irrelevant, he could be plugged into this team and lead the number one offense in the league?
No. I think there's a couple things. I think that, number one, it shows how great this team is, because they are, I mean, there are no weaknesses there. The defense, awesome. The offense, okay, don't screw it up for the defense, but that's underselling it. You look at the weapons they have for him to work with, and, you know, from Debo Samuel to Brandon Ayuk, quietly is having a huge year. Oh, they go and trade for Christian McCaffrey. Oh, George Kittle at tight end. So weapons all over for him. But specific to Brock Purdy, I mean, what are your thoughts on it, Brock? Like, this guy was a fun, good college quarterback, college leader, but did you see transferable skills to what he's doing now?
No, I thought the biggest challenge, frankly, would just be physical. And I hadn't been to Ames. Last year was the first time to Ames. It seemed like we always had Iowa State on the road. And I purposely got there early to watch him and Breece Hall and some of these other guys practice and their tight ends. And I remember seeing Brock in person going, oh my gosh. Like, he's one of those guys that you look in most of that Iowa State program, looks a lot better in a football uniform than shorts and a t-shirt. Like, he had T-Rex arms. Like, I don't think his hands tuck into his pockets. He has little hands, right? I mean, just these things. Don't shake your head at me, Salk. Like, these are the things that physically you get used to looking at. And he's having to lick his thumb every time to get a grip. And I'm like, wonderful college player, maximizing everything that he had. But how does that translate to the league? Yeah, probably Mr. Irrelevant, which is exactly where he's picked, Joe. Yeah. And then all of those things, kind of like Stetson Bennett last night, all of those other things that do matter, like guts, heart, competitiveness, will, seeing the game, playing the game, anticipating, accuracy. Yeah, he has those, and it's been showing up big time in San Francisco.
Yeah, and he's not like, okay, the dude's not Tom Brady, but it's really easy to make a comparison, right, and say a guy who didn't look the part necessarily in college. Yeah, he was a good college quarterback, but physically, I mean, there's that picture you always see of Tom Brady at the combine shirtless where it's like, who's drafting this dude? And then he shows up and gets a chance, and again, I'm not saying he becomes Tom Brady, but the point is, we've seen before guys who in college you don't think have a chance to be anything special in the NFL, and then they become something special.
I wonder which would have been more surprising a year ago, Brock Purdy in the playoffs or Geno Smith in the playoffs, especially given what Geno, you know, has done for the Seahawks this year. He didn't take over halfway. He's taken every snap for this team. What do you think is on the line for Geno Smith here in this playoff game?
I think it's a great story. I think that, so my crew coming out of doing that Seahawks game in October, that was the thing that I heard them talking about, how much they enjoyed talking to Geno, how much they enjoyed telling his story, hearing his story throughout the week. I don't know that I think there's enough there. There's enough, as they say, on tape, where I don't think there's probably a ton on the line with this playoff start in terms of his future. I think he's established that he can do it. And it seems like it was a matter of opportunity. It's first time in a long time that Geno's had the shot. I mean, you look back, early on in his career, the dude was thrown into the fire right now with a not very good team in New York. It was a starter from day one, 2 years there as a starter. Then he starts getting injured a little bit. He loses his spot and then becomes a career backup, it looked like, before getting that chance, surprisingly, this year. And just having gathered, I would guess, a decade of experience in the NFL, even if that's mostly just in practice, it hasn't looked too big for him. And that's what you'd expect for a guy who's been around for a long time. And with that perspective of a decade in the NFL, as opposed to getting thrown right into the fire, you're seeing a different guy than we saw when he got his first chance a decade ago.
Joe, last couple things for you. I think Salk's going to throw an AJ Pollock question at you before we run out the door. I'm going to ask you a question that he loves to ask just about anybody that comes on the show. And knowing you as a friend and behind the scenes and a partner for so many years, I'm very curious what your answer is going to be. You'd flown in and do one-off games of the NFL, so it wasn't as if the NFL was totally new to you. But you covered it now in its entirety this season from beginning to end. And Colin, I think your first playoff game here on Saturday with the Seattle Seahawks. What have you taken away? What have you learned about this league, about the game at this level, compared to what you and I, you know, did on the college level for so many years together?
It's an easy answer for me, Brock, and that is how close every stinking game is. And again, not every game, but it's like most games, even if on paper it's a mismatch, most games are compelling until very late. And that's not the case in college. Much as I love the marching bands and I love everything about the college game, there are a lot of weekends when you're going to have blowouts. I mean, look at the national championship game last night. That rarely happens in the NFL. So as broadcasters who just want good, competitive, compelling games, that's been a fun part of it.
Tell me a little bit about AJ Pollock. I know you also do Dodgers games, and baseball's a big part of your life as well. He was there for a long time. Mariners just signed him to a one-year deal to come in, and we think platoon in left field with Jared Kelnick, but we'll see. Who is AJ Pollock?
Well, first of all, as a person, he's one of my favorite guys. So you're gonna get a really good man. When he's healthy, he's a good hitter. Not great defensively. I think part of that is the accumulation of the injuries through the years. So not great defensively, but he can hit, man. When on those star-studded Dodger teams, there were some stretches where he was their best hitter. And we saw this from afar when he was in Arizona for the first 7 years of his career. We didn't like facing him. So this is a dude who, when he's healthy, he's somebody that can really be a force offensively. He can also go through stretches, but like any hitter, where he's not very good at all and he gets a little big and chases just about anything that you throw up there. You're going to have stretches where you get really sick of seeing him chase breaking balls down and away, but you can say that about most hitters. So great guy who's a great hitter when he's right.
Last thing, Joe, can I just give you just a tiny bit of advice, just friend to friend, tiny bit of counsel? You know, you sent me a video a couple weeks ago. Speaking of hitters, Joe's got a boy that can hit. Oh, yeah. His son can hit. And he sent me this video.
19 years old, about to get drafted?
Close. Closer to 18, 19 months, but he can swing a bat. And Joe is throwing in pitches like soft toss with no L net. Okay. And now, his son is ripping these wiffle balls over the house. And I'm like, Joe, just be careful here. All right. You got a face for television. You're in television. You don't need to be taking one of these wiffle balls off of your orbit, eye orbit. All right. So either put a mask on, get a little L net, do a little something, because the boy's got some exit velo. That's all I'm saying to you.
It's
all right.
Funny, Brock. Like, I dodge. There are a lot of line drive comebackers where I barely get out of the way. I knock on wood, have not gotten hit in the face yet.
Yep.
I guess I'm probably not appreciating how much a wiffle ball is going to hurt. I'm thinking it's a plastic ball. Yeah, I know.
Get a mask.
It's a matter of time.
I mean, it's going to hurt, but it's not going to keep you off television.
No, but I'm not making it look bad on television. I'm going to start pitching to my four-year-old son wearing a catcher's mask.
I'd advise it. That's all I'm saying. Just as a friend, I would advise it.
Who's the ugliest play-by-play television guy of all time?
Whoa.
Has there ever been one?
The part where I sign off and let you guys
see you, Joe.
Hey, Joe, thank you. We do appreciate it. Have a great time calling this game this weekend, and hopefully the Seahawks can surprise a few people. We appreciate it.
Thanks, pal.
All right, guys. Great to talk to you.
There you go. There's Joe Davis from Fox Sports.